She's a marketing maven. She has defined the marketing strategies for some of South Africa's biggest companies. But here at High FM, we just call her Dina Diamond. This is Monday Marketing.
Dina Diamond, a very good morning. I would have hated to have been on the WhatsApp marketing team yesterday when you couldn't send images on WhatsApp.
I know. Listen, that's literally a breakdown. I mean,
people. And it was for a long time.
Yeah, and people are so reliant on technology. I think it actually shows us, like, where we are in the world, that the second someone can't do anything, there's actually, I think, is a new fear. I don't know, I forget what the word is, I'm going to find it. But there's actually literally a fear of being disconnected.
Well, I can tell you that I nearly had a breakdown yesterday because we were at a family wedding. So obviously you're taking photos, yes. Sending them. My photos aren't going.
And you need immediate response.
And my photos aren't going. So now I'm saying to my kids.
Panic and anxiety.
Something's wrong with my phone. Have you got 3G? Are you on thing? Am I on one? Anyway, check my phone. Check my balance of my data. Dad, you've got like.
Zillions.
Yeah, 60 gigs, because I'm a little bit neurotic about not having data.
No, not at all. We haven't noticed that at all. David Abrams will speak to that next week.
So they're checking that. I said, well, maybe I've hit something by mistake, not sending thing. And then
Are you rebooting the phone?
Three times that phone has been rebooted. And then somebody says, I wonder why I'm not be able to see, I can't send messages. And then all of a sudden there was relief. It's like when your electricity goes down. As long as it's the whole neighborhood,
everyone
you're
else
cool.
You're fine. As long as it's not just you.
If it's just you, then you just don't know what to
you
do.
You like the collective suffering.
And then I decided that. Then I decided that maybe it's about storage on my phone because I've taken too many photos. So I'm starting to delete. My kids said, Dad, just check your storage. You've got a lot of storage. It was terrible. I was a wreck.
Were they a support group though for you? I feel like they may have been through this before.
Yes, they're kind of used to me, you know, because it's like my son says, Dad, like we weren't that far from Sandton City. He said, you were on your way to buy a new phone, weren't you?
Well, I said, and I had no choice. And you're basically already phoning for your new contract. Can I have the 11++++?
But what is interesting is that you didn't really hear much from WhatsApp around it. In other words, it goes down, comes back,
and we carry on.
It's an interesting approach to marketing because, and I think they're right, because it actually means that you don't need to deal with everything.
No, absolutely. And also, you're going to fix it. There's nothing you could do. You apologize, you move on, and that's it. Where if you harp on sometimes about things, that just creates more angst.
More and more.
More issues, yeah.
Yeah, and it becomes a bigger issue. Speaking of big issues, of course.
We've never spoken about.
Something that certainly is new to me. I've never spoken about Megxit before. Turns out apparently it's a big story.
Apparently, yeah. One or two people are talking about it. But I do have to tell you something. Mm-hmm. That my sister-in-law is here from London.
Yes.
And, I mean, at the rabbi in Shul on Saturday mentioned it. Everyone was talking about it. Everyone's got an opinion on it. And she lives in England. She lives in London, in the heart of it all.
Yes.
She said they do not care.
It's
a true story. She said they do not care. She cannot believe how obsessed everyone is in South Africa.
Yes,
with
Megxit. Obsessed. It's
I know, it's really quite.
And sometimes sad. I worry.
She's going to talk to someone about it.
I need David.
You know, it's terrible that on a Monday we've asked for our psychologist
a few times.
And
it's like a help button on the wall.
It's like it's Monday. But, they seriously don't care.
Apparently no one cares. She's like, I don't even understand.
Do they not read the Daily Mail?
She says, no one even reads that. She says, no one wants to read it. No one wants to hear about it. They're over it. They've moved on. And the South Africans are obsessed.
Obsessed. Of course. Totally.
Yeah. No, she actually, it's just very funny. She's literally laughing at us.
But,
just saying.
But what's interesting to me is obviously that they're no longer allowed to use HRH.
Yes.
But they do keep the
Duke and Duchess.
Yes, so they're allowed to use, what's the new brand?
Once a Dukey, always a Dukey.
Right, exactly. House of, what is it?
Royal
Sussex Royal.
Sussex Royal.
It's a stunning name.
It is really cool. I mean, it's going to be great on their branding and their merch.
Yes. Their merchandise.
I mean, no, their merch.
I'm sorry. It's merch. But Harry seems to be owning the word sad.
He does. You know, he spoke, I don't know if you saw the speech he made last night.
Yeah, I can't watch it. It's too sad for me.
No, it's
upset me. He's like to some as well.
But he's so endearing and you feel so sorry for
him. Well, that's his brand. Since he lost his mom.
He's been going on that for the last 23 years.
It's time to move on.
But I mean, he still is. But he does have that, like, sort of like sort of gentle nature, and that guy that you do want to feel sorry for, and you just want to care for and love, and yes, make sure he's okay.
That's what I've been saying. Younger women want to marry him. Older women want to take care
absolutely.
Of him.
Absolutely, and he's continuing to do that.
They want to be
that
mom that
and
he lost.
Absolutely, and when he spoke last night at that function, I mean, he made it. He said, "You know, I've lived with this my whole life, and obviously since my mom passed away," which he does. You're so cruel, heartless, so hard.
And you know, my father last night, bless him, was explaining to a friend of mine that he too's an orphan.
I know, shame, yes. You know, when they get to 88, they stop saying that they're orphans.
I mean, yes, he's not a young orphan. My father is 83, but he was explaining that he's
an
orphan.
But he is an orphan. My father also says that, shame.
Especially when...
You shame a lot.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, no, so yeah, so but Harry is working for him. He's got the little boyish smile. He's got the look of innocence, and it is working for him. And I think he's actually to some point trying to vindicate Meghan, because she's got a lot of the flack for this, because it's
she deserves it.
But I think he's trying to be protective. He really, because he sees it as maybe his role, because his mother suffered from the media. Mm. Now it's his time to save his wife. But I mean, they still have their brand. The Queen was very giving in terms of saying how much they still want to be part of the family and they're still engaged. But they do have to pay the money back for Frogmore Cottage.
I love that. But they get to keep Frogmore.
Really?
Yes. And
yes. Didn't you know? Course. Pay back the money. Julius was involved.
Yeah.
Even for that bathtub.
See, there was a consultation from
even
South
for
Africa.
The bathtub. I think they're going to sell the bathtub. Or they're going to ship it
on
to
eBay.
We're going to look out for that. Was it copper? That copper bathtub.
Oh, yeah. So, but listen, you know, the royal brand is worth about $90 billion. Did you know that? $90 billion, a brand in itself. I mean, with the Queen and whatever. And the royal family bring in over almost about £2 million into the UK every single year. So that's why there's such a massive appeal. And that's why Meghan, Harry and Markle. The Markles will be fine. They'll be okay.
Oh, and now they're doing a deal
With Disney, Oprah,
Netflix.
With Givenchy,
they're starting their own.
They're up and out there. I mean, you know, Meghan is such a, literally a brand magnet, that she wore a pair of jeans that were like, say, they say them about average, but they're like $380. And that jeans factory had never even sold a pair of jeans. They were producing like 150 pairs of jeans a month, and they had to move to bigger premises because their jeans were sold out, and there was a massive order backlog because of her wanting to wear, like everyone wanting to wear those jeans.
Absolutely.
Did you know that? A bag she wore sold out in 11 minutes.
Unbelievable. Moshe says, sorry, Dina, all my friends in the UK are obsessed with this. He also says, Mexit, nice one. How did you make that up? I did not. I would love to take the credit, but it was not mine. And Melinda says, can Dina talk about Parktown Boys save their brand next week? Well, unfortunately, the brand issues will follow. I think they first got to sort out their issues. But this brand, can they place a value on the brand yet, the new brand, or is it impossible to do?
No, they can look at its potential earnings of income.
Is that how you value a brand?
So there are many ways, depending. If it's a tangible brand, you can actually take, so like the royal family, the way they value that brand is they actually take their actual assets. So you actually take the castles and whatever else you have.
Frogmore.
Sort of in and out of the assets. Yeah. A bit grey. The Frogmores are a bit grey.
Yeah.
And, so you start with the tangible assets. I mean, there are multiple ways to value a brand because it is intangible in sort of theory. Again, there's always been that sort of argument with branding and with marketing. But then they also say, like, what is the value of the income, potential income that those people attract. So as I said, from the royal family, people just coming to visit the castles and people, the tourists who actually want to go to those places and look at the crown jewels and all of that, they can put a value on that. But then there's also the intangibles. So now with Meghan and Harry, I mean, people want to pay them to appear, to speak.
Right.
To,
and as you say, she's a brand within herself.
Absolutely.
You know, she wasn't Kate Middleton. You know, she arrived with
some sort of Hollywood appeal, even though it was...
It didn't appeal to me, but I'll have to do something different.
But in terms of brand ambassadors, so that, I mean, you can be paid a fortune, millions, and that actually looks like it's going to happen with Meghan as well, in terms of big fashion houses that they actually will pay her to be the face of that brand. And well, there's a massive contract.
That South African tour is not going to do her well.
No, no. But I mean, she's also trying to be part of the people. Again, I think they're trying to also position themselves as very sort of charity focused. And now they're keeping all the charities they were involved with. So they do look to be that they want to be part of the people. But again, they're never going to be part of the people.
Well, they are, but aren't they? I mean, they are people.
No, they're people.
They are people. They're not HRHs anymore.
No, but I mean, they're still Duke and Duchess.
But more equal than others.
Yeah, that's
exactly. Look at you with your wise. Threw that in there, hey?
Sure. Well, Animal Farm being quoted all over the show. Wow.
It's a true story, though. Some animals are definitely more equal than others, and some get more security than others.
Exactly.
Gimple says she's now the queen of woke. And Megan, it is that. It's exactly what it is. Oh, so irritating. I don't know why. Why do I find them so irritating? Because they're phony, that's why. I'll answer my own question.
And you may be a bit obsessed.
I could stop any time I want.
You
know what? I spoke to a friend of mine, and because I was a bit concerned about his alcohol consumption. And I said, do you think maybe, you know, you could have a problem? And he looked at me like I was mad. And he said, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't go to meetings.
Right.
I said, well, no, absolutely. No, well, then I get it.
Then so, you're fine.
Yeah. So, time is 8 to 24. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 Chai FM. Dina, I'd love to hear also, we're going to take some music, but when we come back, I'd love to hear about brand Japan. You were in Japan.
Sure.
You obviously view the world through a professional as well as a personal eyes. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about brand Japan. So we're going to take traffic. We're going to take some music. And when we come back, I want to have that conversation. All right, Dina Diamond, marketing expert. She's in studio, and we were talking about, well, we've spoken about the HRHs, but I want to hear about Japan. So you had you went on holiday to Japan.
Went on holiday to Japan, and ironic, apparently there was a World Cup, and apparently the Olympics are coming up. And
you chose to go in the one time that nothing was happening.
Nothing. We wanted to really see it as real essence.
And you didn't even go to see where you weren't even there when the cherry blossoms were.
No,
out.
I saw a fake cherry blossom tree.
Yeah,
didn't really do it for me though.
Yeah,
and the cherry blossom season, which is March, April, which is apparently unbelievable. So those three moments in the year, we chose none of them.
Right.
We chose, let's go in December
I hope you got a good deal.
It's real.
No, there are no good deals in Japan. I think that's the first place to start. It is not a cheap place.
So actually, you know, I actually beg to differ on that
really?
Again. So everyone was like warning us, like Japan is the most expensive country and it's astronomical. You know, you don't have to stay in these like 5-star hotels and eat at 5-star Michelin restaurants. You know, the actual, place is very affordable, very affordable. So, I mean, I travel with my kids, so we travel Airbnb or booking.com. And I like to have place, I like to have space. Mm. Everyone must be able to sleep in their own bed and not on top of each other, so you actually can sleep because it's exhausting.
Yes.
And if you do that, that's actually a very, very affordable option, I think.
Interesting there. And transport, I mean, there's a lot of public transport if you can work it out.
Yeah. You know what, as well, you just need a little bit of time, a little bit of effort. And it's unbelievably simple. I know I say that quite
strongly, but it is. Once you actually understand it, it is efficient. It's not expensive.
You just have to take the 5 minutes and work it out.
Were you there when they were pushing people onto the subways?
Oh, yes.
Rush hour.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. First of all, let me tell you, rush hour is all of the time.
That is true.
I mean,
that
we arrived at pretty much near midnight. The train was so full, you could not sit down. Midnight. Mm. The train is full. And not people. It doesn't look like they've been partying. They're like back from work.
The airport is full.
But even into the center of Tokyo, people are literally, I mean, they're so refined and they're so cultured. I mean, it's a country of 127 million people. And I mean, there are people everywhere. Tokyo is insane. When they talk about cities that don't sleep, Tokyo is definitely one of those cities. And the Japanese, again, I think they are quite insular because it is far. Okay. It is far. And it's an island, technically. And it is surrounded by water, and they have been a strong culture into themselves. So they've got all things like anime and stuff that no one else in the world actually thinks is exciting. And there, it's an entire culture. You go to like a place called Akihabara, which is the electronic district, and there are these massive buildings with floors of electronics and huge screens with it, which anime is like a sort of a cartoon looking kind of character, but it's an entire culture in Japan, and it's massive. But like anyone coming from sort of a more Western society would be like, whatever is that? Like, no one even cares. But there it is so entrenched and it is so popular that it's unbelievable. I mean, another thing, people walk around with those masks, those face masks. And again, you, not being used to it, walk in and you go, what is going on?
Yeah, there's an epidemic. Oh my God, there's an epidemic.
What do we do? Right. Like kids are like, what's going on? And it's normal. And not is it normal for the older people, it's normal for the young, trendy people. I mean, we were in one of the malls. Again, my kids, we arrive, where do they want to go shopping? H&M and Zara. I'm like, we are in,
we're in
Japan.
We want to go somewhere.
You want to find something different. Uniquely Japanese, uniquely authentic. And there's a mall there called 109. And it's where all the like trendoids like hang out. And when I say trendy, I mean, these young Japanese are, I mean, they are fashion forward to another level.
But they're also very thin.
They're also thin.
Yeah.
There's not, I'm
so
telling you now, I did not.
Material that you don't know.
But there's only one size as well.
I know, extra super small.
Yeah, I know. I mean, see, I think even Uniqlo there is like extra small.
Yeah.
Even the extra large is extra small.
Yeah.
And, the people there literally is one size. So if you're in a shopping center, like one of those shopping centers, and you're in the women's section, there is one size.
Are you serious?
Literally, I'm being dead serious.
You're not saying, saying
I'm
that.
I'm not just messing with
allegorically,
you.
Allegorically. Yeah.
No, I'm really not. I don't do allegoric on a Monday. There's literally one size. I mean, there are no fat Japanese. I mean, I did look, and there were a lot of people running around. Mm. And there are no fat Japanese. And there is one size. I think it was maybe one other option. But there was literally one size. My kids were buying stuff.
How do they do that? Can we just go back to the no fat Japanese thing?
No, I mean.
How do they do that?
Also, they're so, again, being an island, they have a lot of fish. There's a lot of fish.
Yeah,
a lot of fish in Japan. And as much as people might like sushi, you may never want to see sashimi again.
You, I was just going to say, in fact, that was one of business trips as well. From a kosher point of view, the easiest thing to eat is sashimi because it's tuna or salmon raw. It's just nothing.
That's what it is.
And I was so excited in the beginning and I loved it. Three days into my trip, I actually thought I was going to die.
Yeah, we're there for 17 days. 17.
That's a lot of sashimi.
So for anyone going to Japan and you are worried about what you eat, I would suggest you take what I did. You take half a suitcase full of food.
Yeah.
I took my kids want breakfast. They don't want
sushi
for breakfast.
Was there any kosher? I mean, there must be a kabad.
There's, you know, a brand greater than almost Coca-Cola is Chabad. Mm-hmm. Because anywhere you go in the world, there's Coca-Cola and there's Chabad.
And you know what you're going to get.
Absolutely.
You're going to get a Shabbat meal. You're going to be able to
And it's
get
phenomenal.
Something.
You know, it's really amazing. So there's a Chabad in Tokyo and there's a Chabad in Kyoto and in another, I don't know, one of those other cities. So in terms of the main places to go, Tokyo is obviously the go-to destination.
And there must be a Jewish community there because, I mean, you must have people from around the world coming there to work.
No, absolutely. And it is quite a hub, actually. And there are more people you think that actually go there. And ever since we went, people are like, oh my God, yes, Japan's amazing. And I'd never really thought of Japan, really. I mean, my husband had. But I hadn't really thought of it as a proper destination. I think with the World Cup, when you talk about brand Japan, that World Cup for Japan was like the ultimate. I mean, it turned, if Japan was sort of a far-off destination that people hadn't really considered, that Rugby World Cup catapulted Japan into a new stratosphere of destinations. I mean, it does have the temples and it's got the shrines and everything. There's not a piece of litter on the ground. There's not a dustbin, but there's not a piece of litter. So that culture is just so refined. People, there's a train that arrives exact. I mean, the train, you say it's leaving at 10:23. At 10:22, train approaching the station and that train leaves at exactly 10:23.
Did people
wait in line.
Yeah, that's very orderly.
It's way too orderly.
As South Africans, it's just a little unnerving. Do you travel a lot outside of Tokyo?
Yes, a lot. So there again, their rail network is so advanced and so efficient that they've obviously got the bullet train. So the Shinkansen, for those in the know. Mm-hmm. So now you can sound like you know what's going on. The Shinkansen. It's on what they call the JR network, the JRL. And you can buy actually a pass. So you can choose a 1 week pass or a 2 week pass. And it is seemingly expensive. But if you actually do travel quite a bit and you make use of it, it definitely is worth it. And it's also the internal subway network.
And incredible to see the amount of research they've done into how they have made these trains earthquake-proof, because, of course, earthquakes are a problem in Japan.
Absolutely. I mean, they think of everything, and it just works. It's ergonomic, and it's – I mean, when you see that bullet train coming, I mean, you've always seen, like, the bullet train, but when you actually see it flying into that station, it's just something to marvel at. It's just amazing.
What's fascinating as well is if you look at You know, I'm just looking at some of the messages I'm getting. German songs on Chai FM is not an option with Holocaust commemoration this week. Your choice is more, even more offensive. That aside, and we'll come back to that conversation.
That's a whole nother issue.
Because it's interesting. But Japan was decimated. But 1945, it was flattened, effectively. People, millions of people had died. Mm-hmm. People had their spirits were crushed. The cities were
literally, when you say decimated,
were flattened.
Flattened completely.
And you go to Japan today, it's unimaginable.
Mm-hmm. So my husband and I actually commented on that. Mm. Because, I mean, we talk about the state of Israel, we talk about, like, it's really come from nothing and ashes. But the Japanese, they had no advantages. They had no technological advantages. After the war, again, that you're right, the sort of the feeling of the people, the actual country was flattened. Again, Kyoto was kept because it was the historic capital of Japan. And so a lot of the temples were preserved, etc. But actual cities like the Hiroshimas and Tokyos were absolutely flattened to the ground. And when you go there and you look at the infrastructure and you look at these massive, massive buildings and you look at a place like Shibuya Crossing, which is the biggest crossing in the world. I mean, there are over 3,000 people that cross the road at exactly the same time. The light changes. There's not a person in the road. All the cars are going. All of a sudden, light changes. 3,000 people in like 8 different directions start crossing the road. I mean, cross the road for fun. Yeah. Just to be in it.
So what are we doing today, Mom? We're going to go and cross the road.
Literally. Literally. And at the second the light changes, not a person in the road. I mean, South Africa, there'd be taxis stuck in the intersection. They'd be going past each other.
Yeah.
And it just works and it is phenomenal. So when you see that level of technology and their lights, again, it's got those massive buildings. It's like also reminiscent of sort of a New York or Hong Kong. Mm. It's got those lights everywhere. The retail is huge. And they've now, that particular area as well has got new massive shopping centers and buildings and rows and every, like, brand is there, and there's vending machines everywhere. I mean, Tiffany has a vending machine in the shopping center.
Tiffany. Tiffany has a vending machine.
Inside a very high-end mall, but it's a vending machine. It's blue, it's that teal color, don't worry.
Okay, so they've kept the
perfume.
Brand.
Yeah, but it's in the store. Perfume. So it's in the store. So but because I think Japan's got the highest concentration of vending machines in the world, it just is part of the culture. And there's that vending machine. And I was shocked because, you know, Tiffany, for their brand, you can't really have a vending machine, but it works.
No, I really wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah, it took me, like, I literally was taking photos. I mean, I took photos of a lot of things. Most of the things are toilets, but the actual.
Okay, you know what? It's really not a great conversation for the air, but wow, there is nothing in the world
Like a Japanese toilet. And I'm sorry, we have to go down there and take it down to the source.
Okay, so talk.
Okay, I have to talk it through because people are going to be like, what are you talking about? So
Before you do that, we need to go to ads. We'll come back and
we're
continue.
We're going to keep you in suspense.
Exactly. But your time is 8:46. Dina Diamond in studio. We're talking toilets. We're talking Japanese toilets.
We have gone down. We've gone to the
source. Right, exactly.
Well, toilet talk.
People have been saying that about my music for a while now. All right, so tell us about Japan. Because there's nothing in the world like a Japanese toilet.
I swear, I literally took more photos of toilets in Japan than anything else.
It's basically a whole system. It's a whole entertainment system.
It is. I mean, you walk in there and there's, first of all, any public bathroom even. So let's start at the beginning.
Right,
so every toilet is electronic and it's got an entire panel, and the whole panel gives you multiple options. A lot of them Japanese, so you can learn the important buttons, or if you stay somewhere, they've actually got little signs.
Most of them have little icons, yes.
Yes, they've got signs and little English signs, which is very nice. And, so basically, when you walk into a toilet anyway, in one of the public bathrooms, which are, again, spotless, they start playing sounds and music, kind of like water bubbles of music, so that you must do your own stuff in private, which is like literally sensors that you're there in a normal like train station.
Wow.
Okay, and again, spotless. Then you can choose, and the seats, especially now because we're there in winter, are all heated, and you can decide on the level of heating.
No, you don't understand.
Yes, in public bathrooms.
Oh, it gets better.
Oh, now she's excited. Before she was tiffing.
I mean, those bubbles are really the sounds.
The sounds,
heated seats.
It's all melodious. I mean, you can just go to the spa.
Exactly.
The public bathroom. So you can try, and so your seats are heated. So you also set that setting of how much you want the seat heated. Then you can also choose, so there's a front spray, there's a back spray. It's got a picture of a woman, so you know which spray you need to use. You choose the level of pressure of the spray.
This is another level. Yeah.
Exactly. And also they don't have, so in the houses, they're the actual toilet room of sorts doesn't have a bath, an actual basin, because the toilet has got a tap that actually comes out the top of it that actually the second you flush the toilet, the water starts coming down. It's got space for you to actually wash your hands. So therefore, and in the beginning,
it's an all-in-one, basically.
And I mean, you actually seriously need a moment. Like, my kids spent about hours figuring this all out. But you actually need a moment to go, what is actually going on? Because you're looking for the basin and you're trying to wash, you want to wash your hands, but you don't know where the water's coming out. So it actually comes out the top of the toilet, and then there's like a little towel, whatever else. So it's an all-in-one, all-encompassed
moment. Ecologically, it's also very friendly.
Exactly. And the last Airbnb we stayed in, you actually had a button that lifted the lid as well. So you literally had no contact, which was marvelous.
Marvelous.
Wow. I mean.
No, this is a whole, the toilets in Japan are another whole level.
Seriously.
What was your, because we're going to have to wrap it up in a short while, what was the thing that you left Japan with in terms of looking at brand Japan, looking at, when you think back, take yourself a year or 2 years down the line, besides the toilets, what else, will that image of Japan be for you?
Wow, just for me, it's just had mass amounts of people, like just everywhere all the time. Again, I'm putting myself into Rio Crossing, and you can catch a Starbucks coffee, by the way, while you watch it. It's just had mass amounts of people and the organization and the fact that it is so refined and it looks like chaos, but it is so organized and these people are so warm and they're so, a guy helped us with our suitcase. We didn't even ask him, we were running and he was like, just grab the suitcase, helped us, and then off he went. They just lovely people.
If that happened in South Africa, you'd never see the suitcase.
Exactly. I think it's just the mass amounts of people and the organization that happens within it. And just the huge consumer environment there. It's just massive and it just works. And it's clean and it's safe and
would you recommend people go and visit Japan?
No question. Absolutely. I would definitely, I would go back. I would love to go see the blossoms.
Yes.
And apparently the Olympics are also going to be amazing.
Yeah. I have no doubt. I mean, can you imagine now when you look at how they've organized daily life there? How efficient.
Exactly. And they didn't even play rugby.
It's true that, but they've learned. Time is 8:51. Dina Diamond, awesome to have you in the studio. I'm Howard Feldman. This is Your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM.